From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., says measles is not a deadly disease, but last week he attended a funeral for a measles victim in West Texas. And what does a measles outbreak cost? Why supporting vaccination programs saves money for taxpayers?
It just seems like it's just a really obvious economic choice.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. On Tuesday, Secretary of Health and Human Services Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was in Phoenix on his Make America Healthy Again tour, and he took questions from local reporters.
Hi, Secretary. I wanted to know what your strategy is for stopping the measles outbreak in Texas that continues to grow.
Our strategy has been very successful. There are 640 cases now in Texas. The number continues to grow by the day, but the growth rate of the measles at our 640 nationwide, about 440 in Texas.
Let's hit pause and help Secretary Kennedy with the real numbers. On this day of that event, the measles number in Texas was 505. Getting this number right matters because he's about to make more erroneous claims using these numbers.
The growth rate has diminished substantially. I would compare it to what's happening in Europe now, where there's 100. We've had 640 cases here. They've had 127,000 cases and 37 deaths. And so, what we're doing here in the United States is a model for the rest of the world.
The growth rate of measles in the West Texas outbreak has not diminished substantially. That Tuesday, measles number 505 was a 24-case jump from the Texas Health and Human Services official number released on Friday, April 4th, with 481 confirmed cases, and that number had at least 59 new infections added. That's a massive jump in the spread. Also this week, Texas, as part of the ongoing measles outbreak response, added new counties to the designated outbreak area. And more importantly, Texas added another fatality to the measles toll. This is not diminishing. This is spreading. But let's go back to that event and the reporters asking questions. That reporter asking about the measles was not appreciated by the event organizers. Listen to what happened next.
Again, please make sure that the questions are relevant to the topic of the conversation today. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Secretary. You said on Sunday that the MMR vaccine is the best way to prevent
sir,
the spread of measles.
Sir, I'm gonna go ahead and cut you off right there because we're here to talk about what we're doing for these kids. No. Next CDC. No, next question.
Will the CDC be doing any vaccination efforts on the ground in West Texas?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does that sound like a U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services who is trying to deal with the measles outbreak to you? This event in Phoenix came just 2 days after Kennedy was in West Texas to attend the funeral of the latest measles fatality. Tom Bartlett is a reporter for the Atlantic Monthly magazine, and he wrote about that Kennedy visit.
Right. So I spoke to the father of the second girl who passed away from measles in both families for the same Mennonite congregation, Sarah and Seminole. And what he told me is that that he asked Kennedy about vaccines. They spoke at a dinner after his daughter's funeral, and what he said Kennedy said was, "We don't know what's in the vaccine anymore," which the father seems to take as a acknowledgement that maybe we're not sure what's in these, maybe they're not safe.
The same day, Kennedy did release a message on social media where he said, or was, you know, under his name, that the MMR vaccine is the most effective way to prevent the spread of measles. So it seems like it's incongruent.
I think it is incongruent. I mean, I think there has been an attempt by Kennedy to walk a line between his current official role as Secretary of Health and Human Services and what he used to be, which is a longtime activist who questioned the safety and effectiveness of a range of routine childhood inoculations, including the MMR vaccine, including writing a foreword to a book called The Measles Book, put out by the Children's Health Defense, an organization he founded, that questioned whether the vaccine was safe and effective. I would say one thing that he doesn't say in his public statement is he doesn't say the vaccine is safe. That's something he has seemed to be reluctant to say.
So we should highlight the fact that he said it's the best way to prevent the spread of measles, but he did not say the vaccine is safe.
Certainly not in that statement. And he has been, at various times, he has questioned its safety and has said things that are very much in line with people who are anti-vaccine folks who don't vaccinate their children at all. And that's what he seems to say, or he seemed to, you know, communicate to the father of this girl who passed away.
Here we are playing word games, trying to parse out, like, what did he say? Was this a non-denial denial? Where this guy is in charge of the health and safety for the United States, and he can't speak clearly.
I just think that's factually true. I mean, he is not speaking the way we would normally expect someone who's a Secretary of Health and Human Services to speak, which is to be clear and forthright and to say what infectious disease specialists and epidemiologists say, which is the MMR is safe and effective, and it should be part of the routine vaccine schedule for children, and it's the best way to prevent a disease, measles, which in some cases can be deadly, and in other cases can just make kids, you know, very sick. And you know, and we've seen that play out. We're continuing to see that play out in West Texas.
So I want to go back to the foreword that you mentioned that Kennedy wrote for the measles book. In that foreword, he goes beyond saying that the vaccine is unsafe. He says that measles is really no big deal. He, quote, we have been misled by the pharmaceutical industry and their captured government agency allies into believing that measles is a deadly disease and that measles vaccines are necessary, safe, and effective. So basically, he's a denier that measles is a big deal.
He certainly has been. And I mean, it's worth noting that, you know, before the vaccine, which came out in the early 1960s, we would have, you know, in the United States about 400 or 500 deaths per year from measles. And that's just what happened annually. And he has said it at times. I don't think he says it in that forward, but he has said in some other forums before he became a government official, he has said that maybe it is better to get the measles than to get the vaccine for the measles. And that he has said things that, you know, that it could potentially make you more resistant to cancer, and things that when you talk to experts and those who have studied measles and infectious disease specialists, they will just say isn't the case.
Yeah, there's no evidence for that at all. So back to Mr. Hildebrand lost his daughter, and that is a terrible thing. And he's extremely upset. But in his interaction with Secretary Kennedy, I mean, what was that like? What was this? Because you spoke to him on the phone, had a conversation. What did he tell you his experience was like?
He talked about it a bit. And I often know from another person who was at the dinner, Kennedy was there both for this traditional gathering after a funeral that Mennonites have, where they drink coffee and eat bread, and then he had a dinner with both families who had lost children. And, you know, what I hear is that he did spend a lot of time consoling them. I hear he was there for hours and talked to them about their loss and spent time, you know, with some of their children one-on-one. And was, you know, really interacting with them and with that community. And I did sense, you know, people have spoken about their gratitude that he came. And that was, so I think that was part of it. And then, you know, there was in addition to that, there was also this moment where this father asked about the vaccine and got the message that I wrote about.
Well, this too is incongruent because Kennedy has said that measles is no big deal, and everyone should get the measles, and that when someone, a child dies, and he has said this, well, that happens. And now he shows up in West Texas at this family event as they're grieving, and he's consoling them as if it weren't no big deal.
I think there's a lot there to sort of unpack and think about, and I'm not sure I totally understand it. I mean, I do think people in that community were grateful that, you know, that he was there. You know, at the same time, I think, like, there is a discussion about what signals are being sent at this moment about whether the vaccine is necessary. And, you know, there are public health officials, local public health officials, trying to get people vaccinated, trying to, you know, encourage people to get tested, you know, trying to make the case that this is, you know, this is the best way to protect your children. And, you know, rather than some of the alternative treatments that Kennedy has voiced support for, inhaled steroid or vitamin A, has been trying to get the message out that the best thing you can do is to vaccinate. And that message, I think, gets muddled if, you know, if you have this person who is in charge of health for the entire country seeming to, you know, seeming to undermine the safety of the vaccine.
So when Kennedy went to West Texas for this funeral, it was odd in how it was handled with the media. You know, he didn't really try to keep it under wraps. He didn't really try to, like, keep it private, but he didn't talk to the media. He didn't do a press conference. I mean, so I'm really trying to figure out, like, what was he doing out there?
That's a good question. I mean, you're right. I mean, it was, from what I understand, it was a trip that, you know, was kind of planned maybe at the last minute. It was sort of a surprise trip. It leaked out that he was coming ahead of time. I believe Axios first reported that he was coming, and so it became known. But, you know, he didn't, you know, he wasn't interacting with the press there. But what he was doing was, you know, on that day, the day of this girl's funeral, he was posting photos of himself with the family and long messages, you know, on his social media, you know, about his visit. So, you know, it seems not, while he, you know, it's been described as a quiet, you know, a quiet trip, it's something that they put out a lot of publicity on, and certainly, you know, one could see the photos and could read his descriptions, and he wrote about the bond he has with the community. So that's obviously something he wanted to communicate, and he did communicate it.
Well, while there is this debate about there is no debate. We know that the vaccine is effective. It is safe. It is the only way to prevent measles. But we have this community that disputes that. They're saying that, this is on social media, a lot of folks are saying that the two young girls that died didn't die from the measles, but they died from bad doctoring that they got in response to the measles. So there's this whole storm of disinformation that's trying to tap down the fact that they died from complications of the measles. And how does that fit in?
I mean, yeah, they're, you know, much of that is coming from Children's Health Defense, which is an organization, a nonprofit that Kennedy founded, and that, you know, promotes, you know, a range of sort of anti-vaccine theories and news. And their argument with the first girl, they obtained her medical records, presumably from her parents, and they say that it shows that the hospital didn't treat her correctly. The hospital says that's not true. It's difficult to evaluate because, you know, those records are not public. Obviously, medical records are private, and the person or the guardians have to share those records. So, you know, that's hard to make an evaluation, but that is the argument that's being made. And then with this recent death, that discussion is already out there, and there are already people saying that, oh, it was not the measles, it was something else. An important thing to, I think, keep in mind is when people, you know, when children do die of the measles, it's often a co-infection like pneumonia. So it's measles that then causes another infection. And so, you know, there's, sometimes it's not easy to sort out, but, you know, what we do have is we have doctors saying, and the state of Texas saying, you know, that both of these deaths are attributed to measles. And that, you know, again, that's coming from the people who treated the two girls.
And so Hildebrand's, the father, his view is what now, has having gone through this, the loss of his child, meeting with Secretary Kennedy, hearing from him that you don't know what's in these vaccines. Does he have a view?
When I spoke with him, he was very much against the vaccines. He didn't feel that they were effective. He didn't feel that his daughter, the fact that she wasn't vaccinated, was the problem. He is angry at the hospital, and he feels that that they didn't provide her the necessary care, and that they didn't give her the right medications at the right time. That's the accusation he is making right now.
Tom Bartlett is a reporter out of Austin. He wrote for the Atlantic Monthly magazine about Kennedy's recent visit to West Texas for a measles fatality funeral. There is a conversation to be had about how much dealing with a measles outbreak cost. With two Texas deaths and one in New Mexico associated with the current outbreak, the health implications of measles are evident. Perhaps less obvious is the economic burden when a child becomes infected and there are complications. And then there is the intense response to try to stop the spread. Those costs add up. Dr. Maria Sundrum is an infectious disease epidemiologist and researcher at Marshall Clinic Research Institute.
So a number of scientists have looked at this over the last few measles outbreaks that have happened in the U.S. The best estimate so far is that probably a case of measles costs around $33,000 per case.
When you say $33,000 is what it's estimated for a case of measles, we hear all the time that it's just kid stays home from school for a few days and plays board games or video games nowadays. So how does that cost $33,000?
So there's a number of different outcomes after a measles infection, right? You can need to go to the clinic, which most people do, and seek outpatient care. Some people, about 1 in 4 cases of young children, need to seek inpatient care, and they need to go to the hospital and be hospitalized. There is also monetary costs associated with the lab tests that they need to do, that their contacts need to do, that often their healthcare providers also need to do. And then there's also the cost of vaccines that are needed for outbreak control. And in the case of one measles case, that might be a number of people surrounding that case that might be under-vaccinated or unvaccinated that need to then get the vaccine in order to sort of maintain their safety. But then you can kind of think about other outcomes after measles infection. About 1 in 1,000 young children might get encephalitis, which is an inflammation of the brain. We've unfortunately seen 2 deaths as part of this outbreak. We estimate that about 1 in 10 children with measles will get an ear infection, and those can be very severe, extremely painful, obviously, but also can result in long-term hearing loss and permanent hearing loss. And then about 1 in 20 children with measles will get pneumonia. And that's actually the most common cause of death from measles is pneumonia. And that's also part of the cost that's there. So when you really think about the median cost per case, I mean, we're saying about $33,000, but the range can be anywhere from about $7,000 to $76,000. So it is really kind of a broad range of what people experience.
A case of encephalitis, which is swelling of the brain, that can come from a bad case of measles. And then there could be lifelong complications from that. Is that right?
Yes, that's exactly right.
And what would those costs look like?
Well, the cost of an average measles hospitalization is certainly more than $10,000. And it's very challenging to put an exact dollar amount on the cost of encephalitis because the outcomes really vary, but can result in permanent long-term brain damage because of lack of oxygen to the brain, can result in vision loss, hearing loss. And so those costs are not just the immediate cost of healthcare, which is obviously very high in those cases, but it's also the long-term cost of how that person is affected throughout the rest of their life.
So who typically bears these costs? If you're in rural West Texas, you don't have health insurance, you get a bad case of measles, you end up going to the hospital, maybe you need an ambulance ride, and you're in the hospital for many days, maybe you're on a ventilator. Who bears those costs?
A number of different structures bear those costs. The biggest cost of investigating measles outbreak happens with the public health response, and that's investigating contacts of cases, tracking folks down and making sure that they're safe, making sure they have access to vaccines, making sure that they have measles tests available. That is incredibly difficult, and it's a really big cost because measles is so infectious. So to give you kind of an idea of that, if I have measles and I'm standing in a room, I cough, I leave the room. 2 hours later, someone can come in that room and catch measles from me. And so it is incredibly contagious. And that's why it takes so much public health support to investigate cases and to make sure that the outbreak is contained. But as you mentioned, there's more than just the public health response. We're also talking about just direct medical costs, which are tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're talking about costs to, for example, Medicare that might support some of that direct medical cost. And then from an economic perspective, we also have to think about lost productivity and the fact that folks may not be able to work because they've recently been exposed to measles. That also comes into play with the folks that work at healthcare facilities, clinics, and hospitals that are treating patients that have measles. And so that can involve thousands or tens of thousands of hours of staff furloughs because folks have been exposed or they have active measles infection or they just don't have the evidence to show, for example, that they've been vaccinated or that they're immune to measles. And that also kind of creates this unseen cost because we're needing to bring resources in the healthcare system from somewhere else. And so there is another part of the healthcare system that's kind of weakened because the response to measles has to be such a robust response.
Right. So there is this cost to the healthcare system, the system's capacity. If there is a full court press trying to contain the measles outbreak, then we have an opportunity cost. They can't focus on other issues that may be impacting public health in that community. And it also could be a crowding out for anyone who might need emergency traumatic care because the hospital is overwhelmed.
That's exactly right. And one other cost that I didn't mention, but is also sort of a hidden cost in the same way that we're talking about opportunity costs, is some kind of unique feature of measles called immunologic amnesia. So measles virus tends to infect T and B cells, T and B lymphocytes, and many of those cells provide sort of immune memory. So up until that point that you got measles, those cells are remembering and protecting you against all of the other infections you've seen in your life. But after your measles infection, there's decent evidence to show that those populations of T and B cells go away and they're replaced by measles-specific T and B cells. And so that means that you're actually more susceptible to all those other infectious diseases you saw before and developed immunity against, that immunity is now gone. And so that's also another sort of hidden cost of the subsequent infectious diseases that these children are likely to be at higher risk of now that they've gone through a measles infection.
So I'm looking at a report that examined a measles outbreak in December 2018 to April 2019, 71 measles cases, an outbreak in Washington State. Researchers calculated the overall cost of that outbreak to be $3.14 million. What does this look like together? Okay, oh, we have these, and you have the individual costs, you say about $33,000 per case. But, you know, here we have over 500 cases in Texas and growing. What's that going to be looking? Can I just multiply this, that, and get a number like, oh, this is going to cost so many millions of dollars?
Well, you could start there, but you need to tack on the cost per contact. So those are folks who are in close contact with the case. Maybe they don't have measles themselves, but they still incur a cost for public health investigation and outbreak control because they need to be monitored. They might need to be quarantined. They definitely need to provide lab tests. They might need a vaccine. And then we also have to consider the costs for personnel and supplies that are needed for public health investigation of this. And there was an outbreak investigation of a single measles case in Iowa a number of years ago, where the measles case exposed a lot of people by traveling, and the cost just to investigate that one case, and not related to any kind of direct medical cost for them, but just the cost to the public health infrastructure, was $142,000. So we have to think about that. And then we have to think about all of these other sort of hidden costs, the opportunity cost to divert resources from elsewhere in the medical system or elsewhere in the public health system, especially when funds are already strapped. And then we have to think about this kind of additional immunological cost that is going to wind up causing more cost to health later on.
Well, I mean, it's interesting to talk about these costs and the numbers that just grow and grow. And then we have to remember that, hey, we have a way to prevent these costs. There is a safe and effective vaccine. It's been proven for 50 years to be able to stop the spread of measles. It's the only thing that can stop the spread of measles that can keep someone from getting a case of measles. So what's the comparison of having a robust public health campaign to provide vaccinations and also do outreach to the community to let everyone know that these are good things?
I'm glad you asked that, because it's an extremely good investment, very good return on investment. So the average cost for one dose of an MMR vaccine provided by the Vaccines for Children program is $2.60. And when you compare that with a median cost per case of $33,000, you're already sort of seeing that there's a huge amount of benefit to preventing that case versus letting it happen. But then when you think about the strain on the community, the strain on the healthcare infrastructure, the strain on public health infrastructure, and then also just the tragedy that families go through if they lose a loved one, it just seems like it's just a really obvious economic choice to go with the $2.60 vaccine.
Well, critics of the vaccines, they claim that the pharmaceutical industry has a sweet deal going on by being able to manufacture and sell these vaccines. And but if you look at these numbers and you say, hey, they're just making a few bucks on each vaccine. But if they didn't have those vaccines, you see that they could make $33,000 at least on each case of measles that's spread. I mean, if you're the pharmaceutical industry, you'd say, we're in the wrong business.
Yeah, if you were a pharmaceutical company and the only thing you wanted was to make money off of people, you'd want them to be sick. And so that's why vaccines are so important, is that they're an incredibly good investment, both economically and just for public health in general and for families in general.
And as a public policy view, if we want to adopt, you know, good laws and policies that would save money for the taxpayer, What would you do?
Focus on vaccines. It's just a really easy bet to save money and to save health in the community. It's just a really easy choice.
Dr. Maria Sundrum is an infectious disease epidemiologist and researcher at Marshall Clinic Research Institute. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. Email me about the show at texasmatters@tpr.org. There are past episodes of Texas Matters at tpr.org, and download and subscribe to Texas Matters wherever you get cool podcasts. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.